All right, and stick that anywhere.
Amen, amen. Okay. Well, amen. It's good to be here. Amen. Good to see everybody. Amen. It's always a pleasure to come. And, you know, your pastor mentioned that you had some great riches today. And really, the greatest riches you got after you got the Lord was getting Brother John Asquith for your pastor. I use him as an illustration in many places. And it's not just an illustration as something that you would go, you know. It's a... an illustration of a good man of God that loves his people, amen, and leads his people and knows how to feed his people, amen. Really, you guys got something that most of the big churches never heard of, amen. Somebody that really feeds you. And it's been my honor to get to know him and to have him as my friend, amen. He's helped me tremendously along the way, amen. And I hope I've only been at least a part of that to help him back, amen. But, you know, just realize what God's doing for you right here. Sometimes, you know, you get the woe is me blues, like we're the only ones around and nobody knows the trouble we've seen and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But realize that in your midst, God sent a great man to help you in a time when you needed one, amen. A time when this town and this church needed one and you've got one, amen. And it's a thrill, amen, to get to know you all. Take your Bible and turn to Jeremiah 31. I'm going to go through several things real quick. We've been out in Vegas. The offering's been down, you know. So, no, I'm kidding. We've been out there. The church where God actually called me to preach while I was in the military, Bible Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. They asked me, their pastor, a dear friend of mine, my longest pastor friend in the ministry. I met him when I was stationed there 33 years ago when God called me to preach. He was a Bible student then. He became pastor and passed away at 55 about a year and a half ago. And they asked me if I would come back and revive the Bible Institute that he had going. So we're doing that, and it's been a joy. But God gave me a course I've never taught before. I've never seen a course on it. I've never read a book on it other than this book. Amen. But knowing God, amen. And that's kind of what this is going to be about, knowing God. One thing I've noticed, we've trained, I don't know how many men, it's well over 50, that are preaching somewhere in the world today. And one thing I've noticed in training men, especially those that are more educated, they tend to get out of balance. They tend to get one way in one ditch too far, and then they got to wallow around in that ditch, and then they wallow around in this ditch, and some never get out of the ditches. And doctrinally speaking, biblically speaking, and as I was preparing to teach these folks, they're 20 of the hungriest people I've ever seen in the United States of America. And as I was preparing, the Lord burdened my heart to teach a course on knowing God. You know, if you get to know God with the Bible, you'll come out right. Amen. Amen. He's the author. He'll bring you through the thing right. You won't come out wacko. Amen. And Lord knows we got enough wackos. Amen. Some of them are called Baptist preachers. Amen. But that's what we're kind of going to look at. Jeremiah 31, look at verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Father, Lord, I thank you for this great opportunity and privilege, Lord. Lord, the best I know how, I give you this vessel. I ask you to fill it, God, to overflowing. And Lord, please allow that overflow to speak to each heart. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now take your Bible and go to Philippians chapter 3. I'm not going to get into all the doctrinal aspect of that with Israel, but one day there's coming a day, amen, when they will all know the Lord. And that'll be a wonderful time, a wonderful day. It's what they're looking for now. But it hasn't happened yet. Philippians chapter 3. Oops, I got Ephesians. I got the wrong book. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul wrote this under the inspiration of God, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now here's the Apostle Paul. This is, if I remember right, 21 years from the day Paul got saved, in that time frame sometime. So he already knew the Lord as his Savior, but he said, there's so much I don't know. And he said, that I may know him. Paul, as a saved man, wanted to know the Lord, amen, better. And one thing I've learned through time, amen, my wife and I, we went by 40 years this year, amen. 40th anniversary, we've passed a number of testing, and praise God, we passed, amen. But the thing of it is, I can say this, I know more about my wife now than I did 40 years ago. And I love her more today than I did 40 years ago. And it's the same with the Lord, amen. As you experience things, as you go through things. And there he says in there, the power of his resurrection. You know what's missing in most preaching today? The power.
Amen.
And the sad part of it is, that when it's missing, folks don't even know it's missing. They have no clue. The guy preaching doesn't even know it's missing. Wouldn't know the power of God if it slapped him in the face and said, I'm the power of God. Amen. What is it? Because they don't know God. They don't know the author of the power. They don't know the originator of the power. And many times they profess salvation. I mean, you know, and you look at their life, they live a good life, but they don't know the power of God because they don't know God. To know God, first of all, is to know that he's balanced. Look at Exodus 34. And I use a lot. I'm dealing with some real nut cases out west there. We've got a guy in Phoenix that I don't know what he thinks he is, but he doesn't know much Bible. He's completely confused about where the rapture fits and where the millennium fits, and even if there's going to be a millennium, but yet he's got people believing that they're Jews when they're not. Amen? So, cuckoo. Why? Doesn't know God. Doesn't know the Bible. And so, I've got to speak out on a lot of that stuff. And we've got another, it's called the Emergent Church. I don't know if you've heard anything about it here, but it's creeping in around, especially major cities right now. And it's this thing of grace, 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 grace. It's all grace. Yes, we are in the age of grace, but there's something you need to know about grace. Grace has limits. Amen. Grace has limits. It ain't just a carte blanche and do what you want to do. You did not get saved so you could be you and do what you want to do. Your life is supposed to be hid in Christ. Amen. And so, you know, you can't just claim the grace and forget all the rest of God. So to know God is to know his balance. Exodus 34 and verse 6. Again, this is back in the Old Testament, under the law. Here we are with, amen, with judgment, really, and justice prevailing under the law. So verse 6. Am I in the right? Okay, Exodus 34, 6. There it is. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Now, if we stop right there, everybody say, whoopee, yahoo, right? I mean, they'd be swinging from the chandeliers. There's the grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Amen. Thank God for grace.
Amen.
Man, if it wasn't for the grace of God, every one of us in here would be a mud spot or a blood spot or something, amen, to a spot in the carpet. Why? Because God would have snuffed us out a long time ago, amen, just for the sins in our flesh.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for grace. Thank God it's there. Without it, there's no salvation. But look, read on. And that will by no means clear the guilty. Aha. Wait a minute. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and the third and fourth generation. Now, I want to give you just a personal illustration on that one. Visiting the iniquity on the third and fourth generation. Several of us in here have grandchildren. How many of you and your grandchildren see yourself? Well, I'll give you one. I was 13 years old, and I thought it'd be cool to wear glasses. I found out later it's not. Everything's fuzzy without them, amen. And it's just kind of a thing you got to do. But I thought it'd be cool to wear glasses. So I went, I told my mother, you know, I'm having a hard time at school, you know, can't see and all that. I gave her all the stories, headaches, the whole bit, you know. And I went to the eye doctor, you know, and I did a test kind of like this, you know. As I looked in that machine, and sure enough, oh yeah, he needs glasses. And they prescribed me glasses. I'll never forget the day, the first pair of glasses I ever got. I put them on my face, and I felt like that guy that used to be on the mud flaps of Semi, going like this, going let's boogie with his foot out like this, walking. And I felt like I was walking like that, and I was trying to find the floor as I was putting my feet down. And I almost fell in the gutter as I stepped off the curb to go across the street to the vehicle. And I thought, this ain't cool. I mean, 3 minutes into it, I'm saying, glasses ain't cool. This ain't the way to be cool. No. So I kind of muddled through it for a little while, and I wore them in front of my mother for a little bit. And you know, I was supposed to wear them for reading and all that. And so I wore them in front of her a little bit, and finally got to where I wasn't wearing them much. And my mother asked me, she said, what happened? She said, well, I guess my eyes got better. Well, I never told a soul. I never even told my mother. She probably figured it out. But I never told a soul about that. Now, I got married some years later. And I had a daughter. Had three of them to be exact. But my oldest daughter got to be, anybody want to guess about how old she was? 13. And at 13, she came to my home school. I mean, I was raised, my story. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. But here we are, I'm saved, my wife's saved. Christian home, I mean, man, homeschooling, the whole bit. 13 years old, same age, that oldest daughter comes to my wife. She's got headaches in school. And she can't really see the stuff clearly. So, you know, my wife comes to me and she says, Christy's having headaches. And I'm telling you, this girl, she's so honest. And she's to a fault. I mean, she would tell you. One day she told me, she said, Dad, you know the pen you didn't want to use, I used it. I mean, just, you know. But here she is now. And so her mother comes to me and says she needs her eyes tested. So we take her to the eye doctor, and I get her eyes tested. And not mind, for my pair of glasses at 13 cost my father about $35. Now, this is some years later, and I take my daughter to the eye doctor, and oh, yep, she needs glasses. And it cost me $100 plus. It cost me a whole lot more than my father paid. Amen. It usually does cost you more than you want to pay. And so I buy her the glasses and she puts them on. And it wasn't long at all. I don't know how long. Don't remember. It wasn't very long. And she comes to her mother crying. And of course her mother sends her to me. And she comes to me and she said, Dad, I said, yes. She said, well, you know, I told you I needed glasses. Yeah, she said, I'm lying. I really don't need glasses. And the Holy Ghost said, gotcha.
Gotcha.
Amen. Listen, this thing's real, folks. God, amen, is a God of grace. But he's also a God of judgment. And to know him is to know that he's balanced. Don't get him out of balance. Thank God you're in a place where you hear balanced preaching. Amen. And by the way, don't ever get to thinking that too much negative is bad. Look at an electrical outfit. Circuit. An electrical circuit. Any electrical circuit you want. Pick it, DC or AC. And there's one field. Now, what do you get from electricity? Power. There's one field in any electrical circuit that's always bigger than the other one. Anybody want to guess which one? Because sometimes, you Baptists, you're too negative. No, there's a lot of positive. But you got to understand, and if you're going to have power, you got to have negative. You can't go with just positive. You know, the power of positive thinking, it'll only take you so far. And you really won't get to know God with that. Amen?
Amen.
The negative field, if you follow these lights all the way back to the box, you'll find the wire is pretty close to the same length all the way back to the panel box. However, when you hit the panel box, there's one that goes a little further. It goes out and goes down to a ground rod. It goes down in the ground about 10 feet. That's called the negative field. That's the ground. Amen. If you take a look at your automobile and you follow all the wiring in it and you get back to where things start grounding, every piece of metal in that car is ground. It's all hooked together. It's a whole lot bigger than the positive. You see what I'm saying? So we can't look at this thing like the modern day Christian looks at it and say, oh, it's too negative. There's got to be negative to accentuate the positive. Yeah. And there has to be positive, amen, to make the negative work. Amen. So there has to be a balance. God is balanced. He said, yes, I'm grace. Yes, I'm mercy. But I'm not going to by any means acquit the guilty. Amen. There's a price to pay. Amen. And here what happened. You know, a lot of people, here's Paul, 21 years after he gets saved, he writes that I may know him. He knew the Lord as Savior, but he didn't know him as a friend, as God, amen, the Holy One. To know God is to know his holiness. You find twice in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 6 and in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 3, and you find the creatures in heaven bowing down before the throne of God. And what do they say? Holy. Holy, holy. To know God is to know his holiness. Amen. You can't take this part of God and leave that part alone. But the very first thing that creatures see when they see him at the throne is he's holy. As I've heard said, the thrice holy God, because they said holy three times, I guess. Amen. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. Amen. And holiness is a big part of it, of knowing God. You know that. First of all, his holiness appears 611 times in 544 verses. Hebrews 7:26 says this, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Amen. Because he's holy, he can't fellowship with sin. Amen. So if we're going to have fellowship with God, we can't just continue on in sin and expect God to fellowship with us. He's holy. Therefore, he's got to judge sin, and sin has to be put away. Amen. Thank God for Calvary in our case, where our sin was judged. But on a daily basis, we need to judge ourselves. Amen. For if we judge ourselves, we what? Shall not be judged. Amen. We need to judge in ourselves those things that aren't pleasing to God. Amen. Hebrews 9:26 says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So sin has to be put away. It has to be put away first and foremost in salvation. And then once a person's saved, amen, to know God, it's got to be put away daily. He's got to judge it. In Isaiah 5:16, it said, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and the God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Isaiah 10:17 says, the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his holy one for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and briars in one day. I thought it amazing that seven times in the Bible it says he is holy. How about that? Perfection, amen. I know he's holy, he's perfect. But then he says this. Several times in the Bible it says, like he does in 1 Peter 1, be ye therefore holy as I'm holy. And that's that hated word today. Folks don't like holiness. They don't like living right. They don't like doing right. Amen? They don't like allowing God to work in them. To know God is to know that he's balanced, that he's holy. To know that he's judgment. Amen? Even in the New Testament where grace is found, Romans 1:32. The Bible says this, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. So knowing God is to know that he is judgment and he judges sin. Amen. So you want to know if there's something wrong, just ask him. He'll show you. Amen. To know his judgment. And then to know God is to know sound doctrine. And that's the thing that really the Lord started this whole thing with me as I was getting ready to teach. And getting ready, preparing, I'm teaching. I always start with two classes. I start, first of all, with rightly dividing. And then I go from rightly dividing to two kingdoms. And with those two right there, if you can get those two settled in your mind, you won't mess up your Bible doctrinally. And nobody will mess you up.
That's right.
You'll have that thing figured out because it makes the Bible fit together. It allows the Bible to comment on itself. But the problem then becomes some guys, like I said earlier, they get educated to the point where now they start just dissecting everything. Forgetting that the Bible says all scripture is written, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So every verse in your Bible is profitable for doctrine. Amen. That's what it said.
No.
For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Every verse has a doctrinal application, but every verse, the doctrine in that verse is not for you. Amen. God didn't tell anybody in here to build an ark, but he did Noah, and it saved his family. Amen. So there's differences in doctrine. And today you got people, they want to cut up the New Testament, you know, and say we don't need to baptize anybody anymore. Well, I'm not going to get into all of it, but they're goofy. Amen. They're goofy. Number one, they don't know God. Number two, they don't understand how God works throughout the Bible. And they don't study their Bible. Because what they're doing is they're cutting out a piece that they like. It's not a buffet, folks. It's not, well, I don't like that part, so I'm going to leave that alone. I like that part. Oh, yeah, I like that steak. Let me have that. Oh, yeah, man, I like that ice cream. You can tell I like ice cream, right? Amen. It's not that way. With God, you got to take him all. Amen. It's all of God or all of nothing. Or nothing of God. Amen. It's a balance. Sound doctrine. Titus chapter 1 verse 9 said, holding fast the faithful words he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Amen. But speak thou, Titus said in 2:1, the things which become sound doctrine. If you're going to speak sound doctrine, you ought to know what sound doctrine is, huh?
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And by the way, doctrine isn't just rightly dividing if you read your Bible. I mean, you even got to study to figure it out. Doctrine is manner of life as well. Right. Living a Christian life. Amen. Living like a Christian that professes to be saved ought to be living. Amen. So to know God is to know sound doctrine. In other words, so if you know sound doctrine, guess what? You're going to be living right.
That's right.
You're going to be doing right. Why? Because God's balanced and you're trying to be like him. Amen. And you're trying to allow him to live in you. So if he's living in you, you'll be the same way. You'll be balanced. Your doctrine will be sound. And then to know God is to know his grace. And that's where we are today. In fact, I'm dealing with these things on a regular basis. I'm dealing with a church right now that has had some struggles, had some problems. And there's been a major split and you know, people have left and the pastor has left and all these things. And there's a crew that was screaming, grace, 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 grace. It's all grace. And then you got people that, I mean, they get into this thing with, since there's so much grace, you know what happens when you get all grace? Sin comes in. Sin comes in when there's too much. When you're out of balance with too much grace and nobody's judging anything, sin comes in. I mean, into the church. Because it comes into people's lives because they allow it. Because, you know, God's grace, God's grace, God's love. Yeah, he's love, he's grace. But he cannot put up with sin, and he will not put up with sin. He will judge it. Amen. And so then it becomes, it gets down to where people say, well, I don't tithe because tithing is Old Testament. I mean, read your Bible. Tithing is also New Testament. Amen. Study your Bible. It's New Testament. Amen. Read 1 Corinthians 9, for instance, and then compare that with Deuteronomy. Amen. And then I always like this one in Hebrews. The Bible says, here, men that die. Now listen, I know all about all the distance. I understand all that. I've studied them. I've taught them. But Hebrews, is that a New Testament book? Who wrote that book? Paul wrote that book, okay? Was Paul an apostle to the church and to the Gentiles? He sure was. And what did he say? Here, men that die receive, that's present tense, tithes. So in Paul's day, they were receiving tithes in the church. Yep. Amen, when he wrote that book. Amen. So you can cut it any way you want to cut it, but you can't cut it out. Amen. It's still there. And then I had a fellow say, well, I believe in New Testament giving. So what's he do? Well, he don't give. Basically, that's what it means. He don't give. There's no record of it anywhere. The FBI couldn't find it. Amen. He don't give because he believes in New Testament giving. In other words, that means I'm going to keep all my money for me. Amen. No, that's not Bible. What are you trying to say? When you know God, there's going to be a balance there. You know what? When you know God, you'll want to give.
Yeah.
Amen. You'll want to. It's just part of you. Amen? And I know everybody struggles with it from time to time. I know there's times where you just say, oh man, if I do that, I know I ain't got this, and if I do that, I ain't got to have that. But God always makes it up, doesn't he? You cannot give God. Just try. I challenge you, try sometime. You'll love it. Amen. I don't know how I got off on that. Amen. But but you know, you might ask, preacher, why'd you save grace for last? Because you can never really fully understand grace until you understand the need for grace. The need for grace is we need it because we are a mess. Present company included. Amen. We are a mess. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in worse shape than we are. And God has been gracious. That's why we need grace. Amen. But we need to remember there is a need for grace. And that grace comes from judgment. When we judge things and say, whoops, that one needs covered. That one needs some help. Amen. That one's fallen down. That one's weak. Hey, this one over here is strong. Praise God, man. The grace of God is really helping over here. Let's get the grace of God on this one. Amen. Those areas in our life that we struggle with, those areas in our life that are just constant battles, you know what we need? First of all, we need judgment from ourselves to recognize it as such, call it what it is, and then we can get help. Then we can get the grace of God. Call those things in our life exactly what God calls them. God doesn't have gray areas. It's black, it's white. Amen? It's red, it's purple, it's green, whatever. God doesn't call it, you know, some wild thing. God's very plain. He makes it plain. He judges it fairly. He judges it justly. And thank God, God is just. That makes him the only one capable and fit to be our Savior. If you or I were a Savior, we wouldn't be just. I don't like that one. Send that one to hell. Amen. I don't like that one. God said, God so loved the world. Amen. And he's just. So he's fit to say, sorry, you're going to hell because you refused Jesus Christ. Not just because you didn't wear white socks or whatever. Amen. And amen. God's balanced. Thanks God for grace. Romans chapter 7 verse 6 says this. But now we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Amen. The need for grace. We needed the law to show us where we were wrong, but we need grace to redeem us. We need grace to get us out of the mess we're in. Thank God that God is balanced enough and cares enough to point out to us where we're wrong. And then when we're wrong, to give us the grace to get it right. Amen. Amen. Thank God we serve a balanced God. That I may know him. Now here's Paul, amen. Again, 21 years after his salvation. And he's saying that I may know him. You know, some people, they get to know God as Savior first. And then they get to know God after they get saved. But you know, there's some people that are studying. And they're trying to figure God out. I've run into them. They're in colleges. They're in different places. And they're studying God, trying to figure God out. Well, when you get him figured out, let me know, would you?
Yeah.
Amen. But you know what they're really looking for? They're looking for an answer. And they're trying to figure this thing out. And so what they do, they're not even saved. But what happens in their quest, as they're trying to get to understand God a little bit, you know, somewhere along the line, they bump into that thing called salvation. And they wind up getting saved. How many people have you heard about that tried to prove the Bible wrong, only to wind up getting saved? Amen. Tried to prove that there's no God, only to wind up finding out there was a God and getting saved.
Amen.
So however at, wherever you're at, amen, just take that thing, amen, and get to know God. Your desire, my desire, ought to be to know him better. Amen. Why? Because he's real. And he loves us. Amen. And he is good to us. But he won't put up with foolishness very long.
Amen.
Grace has limits. Amen.
Amen. You know, I've heard Brother Craig Cobb preach. Brother Cobb trained under Lou Gadano in Hamburg. And he made this statement.
said his pastor taught him, A, to know God, to love God, and then he taught us a third thing, to enjoy Him.
Yeah.
To enjoy Him. Very few people enjoy God. Just enjoy having Him in their home, their family, part of their life. Enjoy the grace of God. Enjoy what He does. There's so many books and movies and things that are out there about the aftermath of a nuclear attack. You know, what it'd be like if all the cities are broken down and radiation and monsters and this kind of thing. You know, I remember as a kid reading the stories of Hiroshima and the trails of people been burned by nuclear stuff. If you have eyes to see, we're living that now. But the nuclear attack was the Cultural Revolution of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And people are just suffering from it. They're just suffering. Well, you go around, lives hurt so bad. The unforgiveness in families and the brutal things that sin have done to people. And just the children that are raised without parents, without love, and just the people with deep, awful sexual wounds all over the place, and it's so hard. And if God would just open our eyes and show us, we live in that post-nuclear attack. This country has been attacked by its enemies, ourselves. The great British historian, Lord Macaulay, visiting America, that said, this country will be destroyed by its own institutions. We're living in the aftermath of that. Need to know God. Need to learn to love Him. Need to learn to enjoy Him. Enjoy Him. That was a great statement, wasn't it? Lou Gadano. A lot of them after I heard that. Father, I thank You for what we've heard here. Thank You for Brother Cliff Taylor being here. And I do pray that You bless his ministry, bless when he gets back out there and continues to teach. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.